And the IDF Homefront Command has continuously been updating its alert protocol amid the concerns of ongoing Iranian missile barrages. And civilians are to receive a preliminary alert. Well, they are receiving a preliminary alert via the Homefront Command app up to 15 minutes before a potential attack. So for those of us who have friends and family and people we know in Israel, what we do know is that most of them spent last night inside their shelters. We are receiving reports, particularly in the Arab Israeli cities, of people who do not have shelters, and we'll look into that a little later in the program, and they have received direct hits. It seems at this stage that most, if not all of the Israelis, but that's not true, most of the Israelis who were in their homes and who were killed seem not to have been in the shelter, but there have been direct hits on Israelis who did not have shelters. I was reading a report of one man who was killed, and he lived in the basement apartment in his building house. And we've just received a report from Rafael Grossi, who is the Atomic Energy Agency Director General, saying that as of yet there is no damage to the uranium enrichment facility at Fordo or the heavy water reactor at Iraq. And the report says, according to the information available to the International Atomic Energy Agency, no damage was caused to the enrichment facility at Fordo, and no damage was observed in the heavy water reactor. On the line, straight from Israel, we have our correspondent, Anthony Reich, to bring us the latest. Anthony, did you get any sleep last night?
Hi, Paula, Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. We did get some sleep last night. It's been very, very disrupted for us all the time since the early hours of Friday morning, when the whole of Israel was woken up all at once at about 3 a.m. To be told that we are not in immediate danger right now, but we wanted everybody to be awake, to advise everybody that we have carried out this attack against Iran, and that Israelis need to really be near their bomb shelters. And since then, it's been a case of disrupted nights, because it seems as if the bulk of the attacks that take place against Israel are being undertaken overnight. So, for example, last night, there were sirens that sounded in certain parts of Israel at around 11 p.m. That was more towards the northern part of Israel. But then the central part, including areas around Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, areas around the Wadi Ara area, around the Jordan Valley, all of those areas were attacked at around 3 a.m. this morning, a little before 3 a.m. And that was really a combined attack, both from Yemen and from Iran, that took place, quite an extensive attack, and that also caused quite a lot of damage and, unfortunately, some deaths and injuries along the way as well. So for now, at least, life is very disrupted. Today, everybody is being instructed to remain near their bomb shelters. We understand that there have been some drone attacks carried out by Iran during the course of today. But for now, at least, things are relatively quiet. Israel is not operating as usual today. The airport is closed. Most businesses are closed. Most shops, offices, government services, people have stayed home today. Those who are working are largely working from home. So things are particularly quiet. Of course, the schooling system is also completely closed down, and the Minister of Education has come out saying that any schooling that takes place this week will be undertaken remotely. So nobody is to turn up at school this week. And that's really the current status of things on the home front.
Anthony, the latest figures that we have been receiving are 10 Israelis dead and 200 injured, and rescuers scrambling to find some 20 missing. Have you got any different figures, or are those the latest figures you see according to the reports that are circulating inside Israel?
So the 10 people who were killed were actually killed last night. We also had a few casualties on Friday night. Three people were killed on Friday night. Two of them were killed in the area of Rishon LeZion, and one was killed in the area of Tel Aviv. I am giving certain information about geographic areas. This is information that's all publicly available, so people shouldn't feel too sensitive about repeating it or the fact that I'm stating it publicly, because this is all information that's very much out in the open. In addition to that, last night we had a very substantial attack that took place in the area of Bat Yam, just south of Tel Aviv. The current figures show that six people were killed in that attack in Bat Yam. The remaining four people who were killed last night were killed in the first barrage of missiles that were directed towards the north of Israel in the Arab town of Tamra, which is not too far from the Haifa area. And we understand that there was a direct hit of a missile on a family home in Tamra. The four people who were killed were all members of the same family. We don't yet know details of the six people who were killed in Bat Yam, other than to say that we understand that the deaths, those who were killed, include an 8-year-old girl and a 10-year-old boy, and there are still quite a few people who are missing. Listeners should understand that the damage and the injury and the deaths are not only caused by the direct hits of missiles or shrapnel, which come down as a result of missiles that have been intercepted in the air above, but also as a result of the blast of the explosion from the missile is so substantial that buildings have been pulled down just from the blast. So there are buildings that have been completely destroyed, not because a missile has directly hit that building, but rather just because the impact of the blast from a nearby missile has been so substantial that it's destroyed the building. And as a result of that, obviously injures people, and it obviously kills people in the process. And the message that we are all getting everywhere along the way is go to your bomb shelters, stay in your bomb shelters as long as required, because it's the bomb shelters that save lives. That is the current message that we are receiving from all quarters. Unfortunately, those people who have been killed were killed as a result of not being in their bomb shelter. So, or many of them, I don't know if all the cases from last night match that particular one, but we understand that the bulk of the injuries and the deaths that are experienced are as a result of people not going to their protected spaces and not going to their bomb shelters. Bomb shelters save lives.
Anthony, so if I do the maths, it seems as if 19 Israelis to date have been killed. And I guess we're still going to be at around 200 injured and some still missing in the rubble. You did mention that the locations and the names of the cities you were giving was because it was out there in the public knowledge. And I just want to mention to listeners, this is because the IDF called on the public and obviously reporters and anyone talking in social media not to publish the locations or footage of missile impacts. The military saying that the enemy monitors the footage to improve its attack capabilities. Anthony, you also mentioned the two important points that some people could be or have been killed by the shrapnel or the damage or the side product of the missiles being intercepted, and that they were not in their bomb shelters. Now, you mentioned an Arab-Israeli town called Tamra, and I remember from the days when I lived in Israel and reported in Israel, there were a lot of reports that a lot of the Arab-Israeli towns don't have bomb shelters. And at the time, the reason given was that it was actually the responsibility of those municipalities, and that rather than using money to build bomb shelters, the money, I don't know if it was used for other things or the money disappeared. But I wanted to ask you if you have any insight on why some places, particularly Arab cities, don't have bomb shelters. And then I know that in the mostly Jewish neighborhoods, when there isn't a bomb shelter, it's because it's an old building. It's only, I think, since 1991 that new homes have been built with one of the inside rooms being a sheltered place. So if people are living in an old building, where do they go to? What is there a bomb shelter nearby for everybody to be protected, bearing in mind that some of these people are old people? To go outside the building to find a bomb shelter takes time.
So the points that you raise are very, very valid, and I'd like to answer your question in a number of different ways. First of all, I think it's important to emphasize the fact that bomb shelters are a standard requirement, a legal requirement for all municipalities, and it's really the municipality's responsibility to ensure that all members of the public have access to bomb shelter wherever they happen to be in the town or city, and that people, when they are in their homes, have easy access to a safe room or to a bomb shelter. And it's true that it's only in recent years that buildings have been built with a so-called safe room. So these days, apartments that are put up, new apartments that are put up, will always, in the apartment, have one room that is very much reinforced according to a certain minimum standard. And that room is designated as the safe room. And even if you happen to be on the 20th or 30th floor of a building, you should be able to go to your safe room, which is reinforced, and that should be safe for you, even in the situation where there is this huge blast nearby, or if a missile actually hits that building. Now, the older buildings that you talk about, many of them actually had underground bomb shelters. So many of those old buildings were built with a public bomb shelter in the basement of the building, and some of those public bomb shelters for those buildings still exist today. So I know quite a number of buildings, even around the area where I live, where people go down the stairs and they go to the basement and they take shelter in their basement of their building wherever they live. Admittedly, they need to go down by the stairs, and there aren't lifts that can take them down easily in some cases, and even if there are lifts, they're advised not to use them. But there is a bomb shelter generally inside the basement of the building. In addition to that, the municipality has made, has built and made available to the public numerous bomb shelters in the public area. So, for example, in the city where I live, quite a few schools are open. Those schools all have bomb shelters in them. The public that live around those schools are encouraged to go to the school if they need to take shelter somewhere. This is in addition to bomb shelters that are placed strategically in the streets, and those bomb shelters are all open now, and the public have access to all the bomb shelters that are available in the towns and cities. To the extent that some of the Arab towns and cities have less of this protection is really all about the local municipality and their responsibility under the law. And I'm not really in a position to comment a lot about exactly what has happened and why it is that those towns and cities don't have bomb shelters or sufficient bomb shelters. But it is true to say that certain areas within the ultra-Orthodox community and within the Arab community don't have the same proliferation of safe rooms and bomb shelters that we see in other Israeli towns and cities. And as I'd like to emphasize again, this is a legal requirement. This really should not be up to their discretion. And yet many of the local municipalities, for reasons that we don't fully understand, decide to exercise discretion and not necessarily invest in the required infrastructure. Now, the other thing that I'd like to mention is that with the current war that we're fighting, where the missiles are being sent from further away in terms of distance, we also have longer in terms of the ability to respond. So, for example, the current wave of warnings that we are getting with missiles from Iran is that even 10 minutes before the missile is due to reach Israel, we are already getting a warning on our phones and to say to us that there is a missile that is on its way and that we should begin to ready ourselves to go to a bomb shelter. For those people who are a little bit further away from their bomb shelters, that is the moment when they're expected to get up and start making their way. The elderly, for example, who might take a little bit longer to get to their bomb shelters, they are being given 10 minutes to get to their bomb shelter even before the siren sounds. So there is certainly enough time for most Israelis to get to a bomb shelter in their home or near their home, public shelters if necessary, in order to be protected. And as I emphasize again, that is really what is saving lives at the moment.
And it's very different to what we saw with the Hamas attacks, isn't it? Because what we saw there was that the attackers were coming into the homes and they were able to, whether through manipulating the keys and that, they were actually able to get into the bomb shelters. A very different situation to what we're seeing now, when you're saying that once you're in a bomb shelter, it's 100% safe.
Well, nothing is ever 100% safe, and we'd like to think that the bomb shelters are sufficiently protected, and we've certainly seen evidence of that up until now when we see some of the destructions of some of the tall buildings and people whose lives have been saved by the fact that they've been in the bomb shelters. Then there is no doubt that bomb shelters protect lives. 100% safe, I can't comment on, but surely they're very much safer than not being in a bomb shelter. Now, in the case of the Hamas attack on the day of October the 7th, when individuals came across the border in hordes, the bomb shelters turned out to be not such a great idea because, as you rightly point out, the Hamas terrorists somehow managed to gain personal access to some of those bomb shelters, set fires to the building around those bomb shelters. Some people were smoked out and literally burned inside their bomb shelters. In the case of the Nova site where the music festival was taking place, some of those bomb shelters turned into what they called shelters of death because people took cover in the bomb shelters. And then the Hamas terrorists came physically to those bomb shelters and began physically throwing grenades into those bomb shelters where people were taking cover, and people were killed in that way. Some people were injured. There was stories of huge bravery of individual Israelis who were standing in those bomb shelters, and every grenade that was thrown in was literally picked up by an Israeli and thrown out again. And for example, we know the story of the bravery of Hirsch Goldberg Pollin, who lost his hand as a result of the fact that he picked up one of these grenades in order to lob it out of the shelter where he was taking cover. And while he was holding that grenade, it exploded in his hand, and ultimately he lost his hand. That was even before he was killed in Gaza. So that was an entirely different situation. The bomb shelters are really built for exactly these circumstances when we are being pelted with missiles from outside of the country. That's really when they come into their own and do their job. And so we can't emphasize enough the importance of people being in their bomb shelters.
Anthony, just to shift for a moment, what's the mood like in Israel? Would you say that most people are supporting the Israeli attack on Iran? And while I imagine, of course, people are scared and people are frightened, is there a general support for what's going on?
So, Paul, I'd like to just correct one fact that you mentioned a little earlier, which is the number of people that have been killed up until now. We had 10 people who have been confirmed as having been killed last night. That number is still subject to update because there are people who are missing and unaccounted for, and so we will continue to follow that. And in addition to the 10, we had another 3 who were killed on Friday night. So that comes to a total at the moment of 13 people have been killed. There have been hundreds who have been injured, most of them lightly injured, some of them more seriously, but that's the latest. In terms of the mood, people are a little shell-shocked by the extent of the damage and injury and the extent to which missiles have been able to fall into residential and civilian areas, particularly, as I said, in the areas of Tel Aviv and Bat Yam, also in Rehovot, Rishon LeZion, and other areas where missiles have fallen. So people are feeling a little shell-shocked by all of that. But yet the Israeli mood is very determined. We generally, as a nation, support our government's decision to take on Iran head first and to go in and to destroy the nuclear facilities that the Iranians were building and were undoubtedly building in order to create nuclear weapons that they would point towards us. The Iranians have stockpiled these ballistic missiles purely with the intention of attacking Israel / America and our common interests. The Iranian regime has been unashamed in standing up and threatening Israel and talking about the unwanted Zionist regime and how it will be destroyed. So those threats, one cannot take lightly. One cannot simply dismiss those threats. And the fact that we've been willing to take on what has been something of a kind of a scary concept, because we know how the Iranians have got all these missiles and how determined their regime is, and there is a certain fear factor that has been created around whether we have the ability to take on Iran. We now know very much that we have. The extent to which this operation has been launched, the way in which it was launched, the way in which it has been planned, the way in which it has been executed has astonished and impressed most of us, making us feel immensely proud of our security services and of our intelligence that we managed to gather, and the years of preparation of creating a drone base within Iranian territory, and to create an attack base to attack their facilities within Iranian territory. The Mossad agents who have been operating on the ground in Iran for months and for years in order to plan for this moment when we will take on the Iranian regime. The accuracy with which we have executed the extermination of the senior ranks of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, all of that has really created a sense of awe and pride in Israelis. And we are all sitting at home at the moment and running to our safe rooms and running to our bomb shelters when we are attacked. And yet we all understand that this has to be done, and we are happy to endure whatever it is that we're enduring right now, because we understand that at some point we had to confront this threat, and this is probably the right moment to do so. And we're doing as well as we can possibly be expected to do under the circumstances, and Israelis are very determined to see this through and to somehow see the end of that Iranian threat. I hope that that will come very, very soon.
So do we. And you talk about the pride that Israelis have for the IDF and for everyone involved. That pride is certainly shared here in South Africa and amongst Jewish communities and supporters of Israel around the world. That's Anthony Reich, Israel correspondent. Thank you so much for updating us. You keep safe, and I'm sure if we don't cross to you later today, we'll be crossing to you tomorrow for certainty. And in line with what Anthony was saying there, I want to emphasize that we are hearing from the Home Front Command Search and Rescue that civilians who were inside bomb shelters in the building in Bat Yam, where three people were killed, that building was struck by an Iranian ballistic missile, were unharmed. They say the missile carried a warhead of hundreds of kilograms. It directly struck the building, killing at least six people. You see those numbers are going up. This is why it's always very dangerous to report about figures, and wounding nearly 200, and seven people are feared missing. But according to the Home Front Command official, everyone who was in shelters was unharmed, while all of the casualties were outside of the shelters. The military has routinely emphasized that as good as Israel's multi-layered air defenses are, they are not hermetic. It has urged Israelis to heed Home Front Command instructions to take shelter in safe rooms and bomb shelters when incoming missile warnings are received. And we heard from Anthony that those warnings are now coming some 15 minutes in advance.